dangerous telling me that. Oh my. Tell me to have fun. That's his parting word. I mean, oh well. Well, I have 50 directions I want to go because I have 50 personalities. I mean, excuse me. That's not good RTF stuff, is it? I had the joy of being here Thursday night. I don't know. Oh, it was the in the prayer, house of prayer. And I just kind of gave some interpretation and shared a little. And then we had a, they thought it was going to be about 50. It ended up being about 400 people that was there on Saturday. And awesome time up there in the upper room, all crammed in there. And it was great. And Friday night renewal meeting here. And I don't even remember what that was. My brain's fried right now. And anyway, so, and now this morning, and so I'm going to explain something to you is that I have something so different working in me right now for this morning than I did for Thursday night, Friday night, and Saturday. It's so entirely different that, so just put on your grace ears, okay, and just give me some mercy and some grace because I feel like I got to give some perspective a little bit to the days that we are living in and the days we're approaching. And so there might be a little bit more of a sobriety tone that could be to this, but I'll try to get some fun in there with it, all right? And I've had the honor of having, she just had to leave to go to the airport, but my youngest daughter, Rachel, which is one of Bethany's, where's Bethany? Where's Bethany? Hi, Bethany, which is one of Bethany's best friends. And Bethany was just in my youngest daughter's wedding in August. And so our families are friends and everything like that. And so anyway, Father, I thank you for this house and for the history, the lineage, and the legacy. But God, we just say to you that we don't want to be stewards only of the best of the past. We want to progressively move forward into the best of the future. And so, Father, I present myself before you. I ask for your help. I ask for your grace. I ask for your word to be sharp. Help focus me like a laser beam today. Lord, I want to be able to say a lot in a few words. And that'll be a miracle for me because I like to talk a lot, okay? So focus me like a laser beam today to say a lot in a few words in Jesus' name. Amen. I want you to turn in your Bibles to Luke chapter 8. Sometimes, not always, I will give a word that will be for like the new year. And sometimes I give them in the fall, more around the Hebrew calendar. And then at times I do both or one or the other or give it then at the civil calendar. And this year, the word I gave was 11 scriptures for 2011. And so that's available on my website. But it was New Year's Eve at a prophetic conference, because there were multiple gatherings, that was in Nashville, at and I gave a message on responding to storms. This has taken me by surprise, because this has become illuminated within me last night. I went to bed early, on purpose, just to get rest. But also, when you're in the place of rest, rest is the incubation bed of revelation. And so when I woke up this morning, oh my gosh, I'm so illuminated with a word, responding to storms, about responding to storms, because those are the days we're in and the days we're approaching. Friday afternoon, when I was in the hotel room, I had an experience that seemed so real. And it was a tsunami wave. I felt like it was so real to me. I thought I was in the middle of it. That it was growing. It was coming into my room. And it was starting to curl. And I was starting to get caught in the crash of the tsunami wave. And I'm going on to the Lord and said, like, well, what is this? I mean, it was so real to me. And then it's like you're shook out of it. I wasn't asleep, but I was in some type of a visionary state. Probably more of what an ecstasis, a trance is. And I was in this state, and then I'm like shook out of it. And I'm going like, what is this? It was a crashing wave. It seems like it's simultaneous. It's both. Collision, it's a collision of storms in the natural with crashing tsunami waves of his presence. And wherever you see shaking in the earth, you are going to find a great shaking of the Holy Spirit. In fact, watch earthquakes around the world. Wherever you find the earth moving, it's going to be a sign of a great move of the Holy Spirit coming into that area, because it's a time of great shifting, great seismic shifting, great cessationism shifting, great shifting in the spirit and great shifting in the natural. I see it right now. I speak it to you. It is a time of the collision of the tsunamis. It is tsunamis in the natural. But I tell you, if we will fill the room of his presence. And I had a dream or whatever it was, and I saw this room back over here, but the Lord didn't call it the house of prayer. In my dream, it was called the house of his presence. And I saw it filled with people. They were on their face seeking God. They were on their face seeking God. And then they would stand in authority, and there would be prophetic intercession out of revelation. It wasn't just petitionary type prayer, and it wasn't only soaking worship. It was saturated presence seeking God's face. And then the people arose, and they exercised authority and released prophetic intercession and decrees, declarations, calling that which is not as though it is. And I just speak over you, that room shall be filled. It shall be filled. It shall be filled. You will have your own version of your own house of prayer. But it is the house of presence. God calls it the house of presence. He says it's a house of presence. And it shall be filled even as economic shake, even as government shake, even as cities quake and shake. I tell you, he's going to raise up the house of presence in Toronto in Jesus' name. And I also have a challenge for you. So maybe I just have time to give out some revelation, but I want to. Okay, I'm torn because I'm a preacher of the Bible. Okay, and so I'm just torn. I feel something from the Holy Spirit today, and it's a challenge to Toronto. For the east part, you might not consider yourself necessarily the east part of Canada. You have your other maritime provinces and then the territories. But the Lord, I feel like, you know, you are the east part of Canada. And I feel like the Lord's challenging Toronto to pray for the west side of Canada. You are to be in prayer for Vancouver. There is a shaking that in the natural, there is a wave that could come to the west coast of even Canada, not just the United States, but of Canada. I saw it this morning, and he gave a challenge just to call forth the church in Toronto to pray for Vancouver. See, you can see something ahead of time, and you can cut it off from coming into being. All revelation that people gets does not have to happen. Sometimes we go up into the enemy's camp, and Paul said we're not to be ignorant of the devil's schemes, and we could snatch some of what he intends to happen beforehand so as to stand in the gap to cut it off. Sometimes it is something, and then there are simply natural issues in the earth. But I tell you, the earth's core, there is this shifting. There is a tilting that is going on right now in the earth's atmosphere. And we're going to find out scientifically soon, in around 6 months period of time, we're going to find out that the earth's axis has actually done a shift. And this is going to mess with whole time zones and certain electromagnetic pulse fields in the earth. And there could be some temporary, almost like blackouts, power-wise, that will go around the earth. But it doesn't. But at the same time, if we see some, I see for over 6 months, I've been having something stirring. It's been longer, for about 18 months, something stirring on the inside of me. But I couldn't ever find the word for it. I couldn't get the word for it. I didn't know what the word was. See, I'm not one of these doom gloom prophets. That's not who I am. Because I see revelation, but I'm going to add intercession to the revelation. Because then that's where Abraham barters over his city, and if 50 are found, if 45 are found, if 40 are found, if 30 are found, if 20 are found, I will go back to you this one more time. If but 10 are found, will you spare the city? And God says, yes. If 10 are found, if 10 righteous are found, I will spare the city. That's the kind of place we're coming into. It's bartering intercession. I mean it. Holy Ghost barterers. Bartering intercession. Dude, I prayed over you Friday night, but I don't remember who you are, but I see it all over you again. That healing anointing for your generation. What's your name? Eric? Aaron, I see it all over you again. Healing anointing for your generation. There is a healing movement that's going to come out of this house for the next generation. And you are going to be one of the leaders of it in Jesus' name. I don't know why I have to say it to you again. Sometimes I'm like a broken record. I have to keep at it and keep at it and keep at it and keep at it till I know it's out of me. It's gotten into them. Okay? And so I speak into you in the name of Jesus, and I see a healing anointing on the inside of you, and you're going to be one of many, but you're going to be one of those forerunner healers from out of this house. The Lord says you will be a son in this house. You are a son in this house, and you will be sent from this house, and you will lead healing teams, healing movement of the youth. In the name of Jesus, amen. Now, this young couple that's over here, I didn't realize that I saw them in Franklin at Grace Center a month ago, some 6 weeks ago, something like that. But in my dream, I didn't see this guy in the red shirt. So quite frankly, I didn't pay a whole lot of attention to him. But I had a dream about this girl with the white hair. And so Saturday night into Sunday morning, I had a dream. I saw this woman with white hair, and I kept looking for her. I was like, but it was first service. She didn't show up first service. Oh, well, maybe I missed it. And then she shows up for the second service. Oh, shoot, praise God, hallelujah. Anyway, and I saw written over her head Daniel 1:17, and I pronounced an interpretation of dreams, you know, over her life. And she'd be a teacher of interpretation of dreams. What's your guys' names? Ben and Sarah, yeah. And so anyway, so that's, yeah, well, and it's, yeah, that's what she does. But I'm going to add a little more to it. You're actually going to take some of my stuff. You're going to take some of my stuff, like dream language, my study guide exploring the gift and nature of dreams, the seer and all of that. This might sound outrageous, but you're going to become such a clear prophetic teacher. Some of my DNA, I speak it into you in the name of Jesus. I'm a prophetic intercessor, but I'm a prophetic teacher. And I speak, you're even going to take some of my things I've done, and you're going to polish them up into your next generation language, and you're going to present them in a unique style. And I just speak at again that Daniel 1:17 anointing over you of dreams and interpretation of signs and wonders in Jesus' name. And so I didn't even, you know, I'm seeing this guy up here, and I'm going like, wow, who is this guy? I didn't even realize. And so I run, he comes off the platform, and I go, oh, I see the lady with the white hair. You mean you're, and it's, yes. Okay, anyway, so whatever. Okay. So the worship leader in the red shirt. That's what I wrote down. Okay. The worship leader in the red shirt. My son, I want you to stand up, okay? I want you to stand. Everybody stretch out your hand towards, to both of them. Ben and Sarah, stand up. Now, I feel like I got, I'm messing with governmental chairs today a little bit. And so if I mess it up too much, sorry. I just give Steve and Sandra something to work with later, to clean up later, okay? But I see this youth culture anointing on the two of you. And I'm not trying to displace anyone else. I don't even know what your functions are. And I'm not trying to displace if someone else leads something or whatever. But I see a youth culture that like emanate in Franklin, but that young adult anointing upon you. And even as Redding, California has Jesus culture, and IHOP has one thing, and as, I don't know if Toronto, I don't know if this is the right word or not, but fresh wind, I see you as leaders of a youth surge movement. It's going to be, there are new waves coming from out of Toronto, catch the fire. And it's a next generation voices being raised up. You are set apart as a son and a daughter in this house. The spirit of adoption has come upon you, and you shall be sent ones, and yet at the same time, you will have your feet almost like firmly planted in this house, because there is a Jesus culture-ish, Jesus revolution-ish, a one thing-ish, and you're going to get your own fresh wind-ish name for it, and it's going to be a youth culture ministry right in the middle of this house. It's not going to be only something that people come for conferences from around the world, but there's a shift that's going on even in this house. The Lord is giving to this house its own apostolic DNA. Not only the fire, the spread to the world, but he's giving you your own apostolic DNA for Toronto. It is now the hour. You have an apostolic mandate. Stephen Sander and John and Carol and Mary Audrey and all those who have been faithful. You have an apostolic mandate that is upon you in this hour to touch the city for Jesus' sake. Touch the city for Jesus' sake. He wants you to go into the third heavens, and God's going to give you a blueprint strategy for a youth culture revolution to come forth, and you're going to be so happy because they're going to line up all over again for a youth culture expression of Catch the Fire in Jesus' name. And that dear young man, Ben, the Holy Spirit spoke to me that, okay, even as in the cult world, there's the zodiac signs, but he told me that in the Holy Spirit world, we also are born under signs. And you were born under the sign of creativity. And you were born under a sign of creativity. There's going to be media. It's going to be a sound. It's going to be recordings. It's going to be a whole department. And this is a part of developing the culture of the young adult. And I don't know if it will be called Fresh Wind. I think it's something else that it's going to be called. And so, Lord, I just bless that in Jesus' name. Amen. Does that make any sense at all? What? They do that now? See, I don't know. Well, good. They do that now. I don't know. Good. Well, that's, praise God, hallelujah. I might get to come back. Okay. Well, that took up some time. Turn to your Bible. I knew that would happen. Oh, well. Turn to Luke chapter 8, verse 22. We'll only read four verses in the Bible. Luke 8:22. Now, on one of those days, Jesus and his disciples got into the boat, and he said to them, "Let us go over to the other side." I want you to say that with me. Let us go over to the other side. So they launched out. That's so freaking awesome. So they. See, oh, hi. One, two, three, four. Fourth row. There's a couple you're sitting in. There's this person on the end seat, and I trust that you're a couple. Yeah, they're together, you two. Stand up, okay? Yeah. Well, I thought I had something written down there. Oh, yeah, okay. Well, anyway, you know, okay, so sometimes I get names and sometimes I don't, and I'm not today. Maybe I will, but what's your guys' names? Kevin and Amy, okay. So, Amy, this is real simple. But this guy standing next to you is the best cheerleader and coach you'll ever have in your whole life. And your ear is really tuned in really well to be able to hear the Lord through him. Now, we all have to hear God for ourselves, okay? But this is so simple. That dear young man has got such a pastoral mantle on his life. I don't even know if you like hearing this word or not, but you got such a pastoral mantle. You've got an incredible tender heart, and you're a great coach. And you, dear young woman, are going to be one of the Rachel weeping intercessors in this generation. The fire of God is going to be consumed on the inside of you, and you're going to weep over the peoples of God, particularly in crisis. And this dear man will be the shoulder that you, the heart that you will weep on. He'll be your pillow that you will lay your head on, because you are going to be so consumed by an intercessory burden of God for intervention for Jesus' sake. You're an intervention intercessor, and he is the pillow that you will lie on and find comfort and relief, and you are the best coach and cheerleader that she will ever have. Amen. Luke 8:22, now in those days, Jesus and his disciples got into the boat, and he said to them, "Let us go over to the other side of the lake." So they launched out. This is so awesome. They don't have a clue what's on the other side of the lake. Isn't that the way it works? So I don't want you reading ahead right now, okay? Just act like you don't have a clue what's in the verses coming. And you make a wild declaration, which you already did. Let's go over to the other side together. Let us. To me, this is really funny. Let us go over to the other side of the lake. So they launched out. But as they were sailing along, he, Jesus, fell asleep. And that's so bad. And a fierce gale of wind ascended on the lake, and they began to be swamped and to be in danger. And they came to Jesus and woke him up, saying, "Master, Master, we're perishing." And he got up, rebuked the wind and the surging waves, and they stopped, and it became calm. And he said to them, "Where is your faith?" They were fearful and amazed, saying to one another, "Who then is this that he commands even the winds and the water, and they obey him?" Responding to storms. Number one, let us go over to the other side. We must have a resolute conviction, commitment, no matter what, we are going through to the other side. You must have a personal resolve. We have to have a corporate resolve. We have to have resolves in a city. We have to have resolves in provinces and states and nations that though difficulty comes, we will go through to the next level, and hope will be our guide, faith, hope, and love, and we shall go to the other side. But verse 23, we make the declaration before we fully know what all's coming. Storms are coming on the other side. Then in the next part, there's an awakening that occurs. They go to the master. I wonder if he's playing possum. And they awaken him. I don't have time to develop this, but this is, for me right now, is my major life message. Is the difference between an awakening, a revival, a renewal, and an outpouring. Because what we're laboring for now is an awakening. A revival and a renewal touches the heart of the church, but an awakening touches the heart of a city or a nation. And we're in a shift. We're in a theological shift. Because when you study awakenings, you have to have a long-term mindset, not a short-term. I'm so glad to see all these practical tools you're putting in place about financial management and all of this. Because if you believe the end is tomorrow, education has no value. An awakening, I saw in the Spirit at Charles Stock's church, an angel came and appeared to me, gave me a scroll, rolled it out in front of me, and written out in front of me, I could read it. And it said, the beginning of the third great awakening. That is where we're at. We're at the beginning. Though it's in the midst of great storms, the storms are going to be used to catapult something into being if we will cooperate, not respond in fear, but take advantage and seize the moment. Carpe diem, seize the moment. We will be catapulted into one of the greatest opportunities in church history. I believe Egypt's going to get saved. I had two dreams on the Day of Atonement where the Holy Spirit showed me Coptic Orthodox priests coming under gifts of healings and workings of miracles, and a great healing revival coming to Egypt. I understand all these other issues. I'm rather geographically minded and rather somewhat politically savvy. But I look at all of that and then I reach higher into the purposes of God. And I tell you, the very nation that hid Jesus, God, and protected baby Jesus in a time under Herod where the firstborn were being killed, God is going to reward a nation. And I tell you, there is going to be national revival that's going to hit Egypt in Jesus' name. Peter, where are you? Stand up, Peter. Lord, I just speak over Peter some of what the Lord has given to me. Peter, I wrote a book. It's not here right now, I don't think, called Praying for Israel's Destiny. I'd encourage you to get it online, get it on Amazon, mine, or have the bookstore order it, do it however you want. But I teach how to pray for all of the descendants of Abraham, the descendants of Hagar, the descendants of Sarah, and the descendants of Keturah. And I charge you, I say that you have a part in this. I say that you will be one of the crisis intercessors in this house for such a time as this. And God is going to put the twins, even the triplets, on your heart. And he is going to specifically put Egypt, Israel, and Syria on your heart, and you are going to labor out of Isaiah 19. I see it written over you right now. And he's going to give you revelation out of Isaiah 19, and you will raise up intercessors who are going to pray and declare and to speak forth the highway of God between Egypt, Syria, and Israel, and you will be one of those forerunner intercessors to help call this forth in Jesus' name. Amen. So we're called to go over to the other side, that storms are coming. We're called to, Jesus is awakened in the boat. A cry arises. Jesus stands in authority with the disciples, and he speaks to the wind and he speaks to the waves. And that's some of what we're going to have to do. We're going to have to soak in the presence, and then we're going to arise in authority, and we're going to speak to very elements, and we're going to speak to the wind, and we will speak to the waves, and we will speak the shalom of God, and we will say, peace, be still, because there's going to be an actualized realm of authority. And we will stand in faith and be ambassadors of hope, because guess what? They end up saying, who is this man? They'd already been with him for a while. And they say, who is this man? And they trade in the fear of man and the fear of circumstances for the fear of the Lord. Who is this man? And as storms come, that is exactly the question the world is going to ask. who is this man? And he's going to ask, and who are those people? Garth and Mary, won't you stand? See, now I feel like I'm working with furniture in a house today. Okay, so hold hands. You guys gotta hold hands. Okay, so Garth and Mary, you know, I know that there's all the campuses, and that's the right strategy of the Lord, and it really, really is, to be able to actually touch this region for Jesus' sake. I'm not saying that you won't be a part of a campus, but what I am going to say is some people are needed to be pillars in a house. I'm not saying you're not going to be a part of a campus. I don't know. The Lord didn't show me that part, okay? I can only tell you what I feel and see. And this might come across contradictory for a moment. But your pillars right here. You're needed here in this house. You're to be pillars in this house because this house, while it's multiplying, has to remain strong. And you're part of the fiber to help keep this house strong in Jesus' name. Does that make some sense? Amen? Okay. So I say be strengthened, confirmed, and established as pillars in the house of God in Jesus' name. Amen. So, Toronto, I urge you to be in prayer for Vancouver. I urge you, because as you will sow prayers and even maybe humanitarian aid in another direction, you will reap what you sow. And so I feel that there's a call for the East to pray for the West. There's three kinds of storms. There's storms of consequences of sin. There are storms of demonic attack. And there are storms of God's righteous judgments that are due and need for mercy on the people's behalf. But even all those three storms ultimately have the same requirement when storms come, and that's desperation. Seeking the face of God. Repenting, confessing our sin, and then rising up in authority. I want you all to stand. I'm going to pray just a corporate blessing, and then I'm going to turn it over to your senior leader, Steve Long. I want to thank you for allowing me to come, and Chris DePray is one of my great friends, and I know that he's been coming in and out here over the last year, an extraordinary amount. And he and Laura, I used to have long hair down to my shoulders, dark hair, and Laura DePray used to perm the back of my hair. I had a mullet, and I would shake it like Kim Clement, and it felt real good. So anything that's a part of the Revival Alliance, I feel like it's just another one of my homes, okay? Father, I just bless. Catch the fire, Toronto. And I say, for whatever reason, you were all about the new wine and the fresh fire for almost 15 years. And then a shift happened. And then you started being about not only the new wine, but apostolic wineskin. And that's where Steve comes in. And now there's a new shift. And it is in what was is going to transition out. And I'm talking about your network. What was is going to transition almost out, because there's that which is your apostolic DNA being fully, firmly established has been created. It has been discovered. And there will be energy on it. And this even rebranding is about an apostolic wineskin. And so catch the fire, Toronto, and catch the fire, world. I tell you, you are yet to see, even in a conference gatherings that are going to be global in nature, catch the fire, UK. Catch the fire in Singapore. Catch the fire that'll be in Australia. There is going to be a catch the fire that is going to be in many locations. And it will be new. But some of what has been will almost have to let go of. Because it's going to be so much a new sound and next generation raising up of apostles and prophets of the next generation. So I bless this house. I say storms are coming, but I say stand in faith. Awaken Jesus in your boat. Awaken the Jesus in your boat. You're the boat. Arouse Jesus in your boat and stand up in faith and speak to your winds. Speak to your waves and say, peace, be still in Yeshua's name. Amen. God bless you.
That was amazing. And for those of you who don't know, just to confirm some of the things that James was saying, Ben in the red shirt, who's leading worship this morning, heads up our creative services. So all the stuff he's talking about creative, that's what he's doing and expanding. And when you talk about youth and young adults, one of their roles is that they help with our school of ministry, and they're the assistant directors. So I don't know if it's that or if it's... we do have a young adult conference we call Heavy Rain, so I don't know if that's the word or... More than that. There you go. Well, we know that. And Sarah helps to do the teaching on dream interpretation and things like that. She heads up a dream team here. And Garth and Mary, I talked to them a year and a half ago about leaving here to go to one of the campuses, and guess what they said? No, we're supposed to be here. And it's like, all right. So,
I thought it was going to be like a conflict.
No, it's not a conflict at all. Do you want to still talk?
No.
Okay. It's just, I'm sorry. We're supposed to be honoring prophets, aren't we? Just close your eyes again. You may not have got a specific word from James this morning, but I think something has hit at your spirit today. And Father, for each of us, we're asking, Father, that the word of the Lord, not necessarily through another person, but from the Lord himself, that something will have come into our spirit this morning, whether it's hope, whether it's faith, whether it's push through, whatever the word would be. Father, we just say thank you that you are alive and well. You continue to speak. And Father, we bless James today. We're asking for his health to be absolutely perfect scores when he sees his doctors and all the different areas that he's been struggling with. Father, we're asking that you continue to bless him as he multiplies himself, as he writes books and training materials. Father, we're asking for him as he inspires younger people to be able to step up into the prophetic and to move forward. And Father, we want to honor James for deposits that he's had in this house for years. And Father, we just say we love to hear from you. We love your voice. We like the prophetic. We want to honor the prophetic. And so, Father, we thank you that you're in us and with us. And we welcome your Holy Spirit to come. Now, here's what I'd like you to do. I'd like you to, each of you, just ask the Holy Spirit to give you a word for somebody in this room. They may be right beside you. They may be behind you. It may be someone as you're walking out that you just see a face. And all of a sudden, it's like, okay, that was for this person. Ask the Holy Spirit for a scripture verse. That's how about we do that today. Ask the Lord for a scripture verse for someone else this morning. Put your hand up as soon as you have it. As soon as you know a scripture verse. Nice and high so I know when to stop. Okay, most of you don't have a verse yet. You can't do Jesus wept. Yeah, they can't do that one. Well, maybe you could. One of the most encouraging things is when someone reads your mail, isn't it? And just says something that encourages your spirit. That's what the prophetic's all about, is to give warning, to give clarity, but to give encouragement as well. So I want to encourage you, as you're leaving in just a couple moments, take a look around, right around where you're seating, because it may be that the person that you have that word for, that scripture verse, is right there. But it may be as you're heading to the bookstore, in the ladies' washroom, ladies only, whatever's going on. Next Sunday, we're picking up our series on honor, and Mary Audrey's going to be talking about our fourth installment in that. In two Sundays from now, we're going to have Henry Wright with us, who's this healing specialist, and you're going to find it very different than the kind of healing meetings that we do here, where we just sit and rest on the anointing and words of knowledge and things like that. Just be ready for something a little unique but wonderful and blessed of God. So that's coming up. And can I just tell you that some of the words that James has been speaking over our church today that you may not have got, I got. Get ready in 2 to 3 weeks for an amazing announcement. I'm just telling you, 2 to 3 weeks, something that he referred to today that probably you didn't get, but I got it. Can I let you know as well that this may be, is this week, where's Ben? Oh, he's right here. When is this stage going? 2 weeks? In 2 weeks, for those of you that aren't here next Sunday, say goodbye to this. Remember, we took an offering last year, Operation Makeover, and just to refresh everything in the building here. So we're getting ready. This is going to be gone. New video screens getting ready to come. Hopefully, it's all up by Easter. You've seen the bookstore renovations. We got a glass wall there. We got walls. We got TV screens. If you haven't seen the speaker's room, there's a marriage course taking place in there right now. So if the door is open, walk in there, take a look, and you'll see all sorts of renovations there. We're getting ready to do some final things in the house of prayer as well, some drapes on the windows and a few other things that are getting ready. So thank you so much for all of you who contributed to that, and God bless you. We wanted to wait until we had all the money before we started spending, so we knew exactly what we had, that kind of stuff. So God bless you for that. Church, are you ready to go?